All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis 28, and I'd like to read the first 9 verses. And Isaac called Jacob, blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Jacob unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we call upon you this evening, Lord, only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ do we know that we have access unto you. I pray that you would bless the word tonight. Pray that you'd give us a time of worship. Lord, let us be taught. Lord, give us understanding into your scriptures. And these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. 258. If you would, please. 258, He hideth my soul.
Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. Hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of that shadows of that shadows a dry land. Behind my life, in the depths of his love, covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the shadows, a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his hand, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hides my soul in the cleft of the shadows, a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Number 51. 51, if you would, please.
Praise the Savior, ye who know him, who can tell how much we owe him. Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us, before conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in him. Trust in him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can he loves from him. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing, till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Then we shall be where we would be, and we shall be what we should be, things that are not now nor could be, soon shall be our own.
Thank you.
All right. Turning back to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. You know, while all men can speculate, as we've looked at this blessed passage of Scripture, and they can question the ways, the avenues that Rebekah, Jacob may have taken concerning Isaac, concerning Jacob receiving the blessing, one thing stands sure. God's will is going to be done. Turn with me to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9-11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Now, we know that the Lord is not the author of sin. We know that. And we know that everything that comes to pass according to His providential will. Concerning Jacob receiving the blessing, was Jacob doing what he wanted to do? Yes. Was the Lord of glory doing as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth when Jacob received the blessing? Yes. Is God the author of sin? No. God Almighty is ruling, and He orders all things according to His will. Isaac, the father of Jacob and Esau, has seen the will of the Lord. He has seen God Almighty move all things that Jacob would get the blessing. And now we pick up in chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. He spoke to him in a way not of reproof or of correction, but he spoke to him in a gentlemanly way. And he charged him. And he said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Now, Jacob, having obtained the blessing, was directed by his father to flee from the country in which he was dwelling. They were in Canaan. They're in Canaan. I had to get a map out and look and see where they were. Where was Canaan? Where was it? They're in Beersheba. It's in Canaan. And he tells him, he said, he charged him, verse 1, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. I want you to go somewhere else. I want you to go to Padan Aram. I want you to travel to this place that I'm sending you. Back to the home, the family place of Abraham. And according to God's will, because the Canaanites had not been cast out yet, they were sojourners. Listen to each other. Arise, go to Padan Aram, verse 2. to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. I want you to go to where I send you, a place of God's choosing, and I want you to find a wife. A wife according to God's choice. There's a Rachel at the end of this. That's another chapter. We'll look at that later. But there's a Rachel that's there. And this wife that he's going to take is going to be a beautiful picture of God's bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's going to have to lead Jacob to go get her, go where she is. What a beautiful picture of the gospel. The Lord came to this world, made flesh, came to do the will of the Father. He came not to do my own will of him that sent me. But all that he's given me, I should lose none. Well, often we find that the Lord's providential way seems to us to contradict our thoughts, but God's ways are not our ways. Our ways are not God's ways. But if we were allowed to see clearly of his divine workings, we would surely see that all was for the best. All was according to his will. I've said this before, how in the world did I get to West Virginia? Some kid out of South Louisiana. How did I end up here? By the will of God. The Lord directed me to come to this place, and that's what he's doing for Jacob. So Isaac forbid Jacob to take a wife of the daughters of the Canaanites, and he sent him to Padan Aram to the house of Bethuel, Rebekah's father, to take a wife, Jacob's uncle, reminding him that we're to be led of the Lord concerning our union spouse. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light and darkness? So Jacob was to seek a spouse that magnified the union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. That union that has fellowship and communion with the Lord being one. So Isaac, he's bowed to the revealed will of God. Isaac was going to bless Esau. Isaac was going to bless Esau. But now he's seen that the Lord has ordered it. And he sees now that Jacob was to get the blessing. So he's sending Jacob away. And so the scripture says in verse 3 and 4. Now here's Isaac still speaking to Jacob. He's telling him, I want you to leave where you are. I want you to leave here. Don't take a wife from here. That's what Esau did. That's what we're going to see in just a minute. He said, but you don't do that. Verse 3 and 4, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Now, he's just confirming what we just said. He's in Canaan right now. He's in Canaan. And he says in verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land. What land? The land wherein thou art a stranger right now. God's going to give you this land. That's a beautiful picture, type. It's a gospel picture which God gave unto Abraham. Now the blessing was truly rehearsed in the ears of Jacob. Now you remember we just looked in 27th chapter where Isaac blessed Jacob, and he gave him that blessing. And he said that in verse, starting in 27, his son came close to him. He smelled his raiment and blessed him. Said, the smell of my sons is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven. And he blessed him right there. Gave him the blessing. That blessing that belonged to the firstborn. But the elder was going to serve the younger here. And now here he's embellishing. He's saying more of what he had just said back in chapter 27. And this was a great blessing to Jacob. Why? Because when Jacob, first of all, was blessed of his father at first thought he was blessing Esau. And Jacob knew that. He told his mama, I can't go in there. My daddy's going to know it. Esau's a hairy man. I'm not. I'm a smooth man. Put his raiment on, the skins on him, his armed hands. And he comes in and Jacob knows. Dad thinks I'm Esau. He received the blessing. Isaac later said, and I blessed him and he will be blessed. He shall be blessed. So here's Jacob now hearing his father speak unto him again, giving him, telling him, reiterating to him the blessing. And now Jacob knows. My dad is now repeating this blessing with his eyes of understanding open. He knows it's me. He knows that God has given me the blessing. And without a doubt, that the hearing of that blessing with Isaac speaking it with the knowledge of God Almighty's will being done and Jacob knowing that his daddy is talking to him now, knowing that his daddy is speaking to him as the one that has been given the blessing, that encourages Jacob. And he's going to need great encouragement because of the journey that he's going to be making to the place where his father is going to send him. Now, that blessing was a blessing of great, great significance. It was a gospel blessing. I want you to look at this blessing in verse 3 and 4 for just a minute. He said, and God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Now, knowing that Isaac is speaking the will of the Lord, and he's speaking the will of the Lord to Jacob, who was the chosen of God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And now, what he's telling, what Isaac now, who had also received the blessing of the Lord, he's talking to his son that God has chosen. And he said, this is the blessing of God upon you. Verse 3. God Almighty, bless thee, make thee fruitful, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. You know what he was saying? God is going to have a people on this earth. He's going to have a people of his choosing, a people of his love. Knowing that the Lord had accomplished his will, the Spirit moved Isaac to refer to the Lord as if this was very, very significant. God Almighty bless you. That's one of the first, if not the first, reference made by a man of God Almighty. Isaac beheld the power of God to roll, to overrule, rule and overrule. God Almighty bless you and make thee fruitful. Multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. I want you to turn to Romans 11, 1 to 5. Romans 11. I looked just to see how big is Israel, the nation of Israel. And I'm just talking to you now. Now the Lord had just told, Isaac had just told Jacob, here's the blessing. God Almighty bless thee. and make you fruitful and multiply thee. All through history, Israel has been the subject of great oppression. All through history. I mean, in the scriptures, we see all those that warred against them. And God would bless them and sustain them and sustain them and sustain them. And all that. And then even in modern history, and again, now listen, I'm just talking to you now. Look how many times the Jews have been, attempts have been made to eradicate them, obliterate them. It was done in World War II. It was done, history has proven. The war in 67, I believe this battle lasted about 6 days, something like that, I can't remember. But they're trying to obliterate. I look to see how big Israel is. How big is that country? And when I looked it up, it showed a little map of Pennsylvania and West Virginia. It was just on where I happened to Google. And it showed Pennsylvania and West Virginia right here. And here was Israel, just right kind of in the middle. Just a little old strip. It kind of went down through Pennsylvania and West Virginia. I thought, you got to be kidding. It's not a big place. It's not a large, massive country. But I thought to myself, what a picture. God Almighty, as many people of this world that has tried to stamp out that country, eradicate it, blow it off the map. That's what they're saying now. That's what the countries over there, they're always fighting. We're going to obliterate Israel. Spiritually speaking, not the dirt, not the country itself, but spiritual. It's showing God's got a people. And God's going to have a people. And he's going to have a people. He's going to have a people. The scripture says in Romans chapter 11, verse 1 to 5. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars. I'm left alone. They seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant. God Almighty has a people. And now at any given time in history, turn to Isaiah 1, Isaiah 1:9. Any given time in history, that number in that particular time in history, comparatively speaking, is small. Look at what Isaiah 1:9 says. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and should have been like unto Gomorrah. Unless the Lord left the people, turn to Revelation 7. Unless the Lord had left a remnant, a very small remnant, a small group of people, comparatively speaking, unless the Lord had kept us here, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah, wiped out. Almighty God has been pleased to have a people, even though at this particular time, like all times, just a remnant here, some here, some there. Look at the masses, just where we live, just how many people where we live in this one state. How many people does God have in this state? I don't know. Comparatively speaking, it's just a small amount. But God's got a people. Look at Revelation 7. verse 2 and 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Look at verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne for the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So back in Genesis 20:28, Isaac is speaking to Jacob, and he's telling him, this is the blessing. This is the blessing of God upon you. You're going to be a type, a picture. You're going to see this. God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful. Those that come from you, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. But then there was a second part of that blessing. Verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Now here, according to the blessing of God to Abraham, there was an inheritance. There was an inheritance for those of God's choosing. Almighty God had told Abraham, I'm going to give you Canaan. I'm going to give you this land. Now, to Abraham and to Isaac and now to Jacob, there was a word of promise that they were going to inherit the land that God was pleased to give them, and it was the land in which Jacob and Isaac was in right now. But again, as I said before, the Canaanites had not been cast out. But God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you. But that's a land that promises. It's a type. It's a type of glory, type of heaven, the promise of heaven. I'm going to give you. This is going to be yours. This world right here, this world, it's been cursed. The earth was cursed. But just as Jacob would inherit the land that he was in, that his father told him, he said, you can't take a wife from here. You're going to have to go and be, you know, as the Lord directs you and gives you. But here's God's sheep. We're in this world. We're in a world right now. And we don't be like it. We're not to be like it. You know, we're in the world. We're not of the world. Not of the world's religion. Here's God's people, strangers and pilgrims, but just like Abraham was and Isaac was and Jacob was. He said, you're sojourning. That's what he said in verse 4. And give thee a blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger. Land God gave to Abraham. You know what we look for? We look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're not of this world. This is what Isaac was telling Jacob. This is God's blessing. God's got a people. And the multitudes of the Jewish nation that will come out from your loins, God's going to multiply. There's going to be people. And now, not all that were born nationally as Jews were spiritual Jews. We know that. But out of your loins is going to come a people that God's going to bless, a spiritual blessing. And this land that you're dwelling in right now, you're just a sojourner right here. You're just a sojourner here. It's not your home. It's not your home. God's going to make a new heavens and new earth. And you're going to be there. That's what he's telling you. This is the promise that the Lord's given to his people. So all who possess God's promise and blessing in Christ are those who are as the stars of heaven. Abraham, look up. See the stars? Can you count them? That's going to be those that will come from you. That's the stars of the heaven. Sand of the sea. You shall increase more than the rest of the nations. You're going to be an assembly of people. That's what the margin says. So the foundation of the blessing of Abraham was sure. This is the way it's going to be. How does it look? Well, it don't look very promising right now. Well, we're not going by what looked promising. We're going by what God said so. Abraham believed God, and it was counted on him for righteousness. So here's the promise. These people, a people is going to come out of you of God's choosing, God's love, and also the Messiah that's going to save his people from their sins. They're all going to be blessed. And the inheritance that you have, these people are heirs of God. And they're joint heirs with Christ. It said in Isaac, verse 5, sent away Jacob. And he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. Now, I'm going to look at these next four verses, 6 to 9. But now, Jacob is leaving now in verse 5. And I'll tell you what happens according to the leadership of the Spirit of God. It picks up in verse 10. Verse 10 starts off and it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He left. And the Spirit of the Lord was pleased to stop. He's telling us in verse 5 that Jacob's leaving. He's leaving. He went out. He was leaving. But he picks up in verse 10 and he starts to tell us of the journey. And that's going to be when the Lord's going to cross his path and he'll wrestle with the Lord. And we'll Lord willing, we'll pick up that journey. But the Spirit of the Lord was pleased to insert four verses of Scripture, 6 to 9, that are very, very significant. And very revealing. He'd just been speaking on these first five verses of God's sovereignty to be able to give his people the blessing of God's choosing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to give all this to you because I've chosen to give it to you. But in these next four verses, we're going to behold the absolute certainty of the actions of those that God leaves to themselves. Esau is revealed now to have taken up a desire for a spiritual blessing from Isaac. 6 to 9 says, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, now that's what he's saying. He's blessing him, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a charge. Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And Esau saw, he noticed, that as his daddy was sending Jacob away, he noticed in verse 7 that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And there's something else that Esau saw. Verse 8, Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, he did something. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth to be his wife. Now, he's noticing, Esau's noticing, that Jacob has received the blessing that Esau really never wanted. But now he's seeming to show some interest. Hebrews 12:17 says this, "For you know that afterward, when he," that is Esau, "would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Now, no record is made of Esau desiring a blessing according to the glory of God. He never said that. He's being left to his own evil ways and desires. And the Spirit of God revealed the heart of Esau in Hebrews 12:16, saying this, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person," that is ungodly, "as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." But with the blessing being bestowed upon Jacob, and with Isaac sending Jacob away to take a wife, not of the daughters of Canaan, among whom they dwelt, as Esau had done. That's what his daddy told him. He said, you go here. Don't take a wife from here. Don't do it. But he told him, he said, rather go to the place of Abraham's family. And there you'd find God's blessing. With all these things now being seen of Esau, he realized, now there's something here of importance. There's something that's going on here of importance, and whatever it was, whatever it is. Now, I want you to know, just notice, he saw that his daddy blessed Jacob, sent him away, take a wife, and he said he heard him, his dad told him, he said, don't take a wife. Don't take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he saw Jacob obeyed his father, and he left. He saw that. He left. And Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan didn't please his mom and daddy. He went over to the family of Ishmael. He said, I think I see what it is. I think to get the blessing, I know what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to go get, I've already got two wives that are Canaanites. I know how to please my daddy. I'll go over to Ishmael's family and get a wife from there. Now, in the mind, I want you to, I said just before I started these last four verses, this is the mindset of every man, every woman left to themselves. Esau saw that there was something of great importance here. That was going on. There was a blessing, the blessing of God, that was given to Jacob. He saw that. Didn't say that he desired the glory of God or the blessing of God. He didn't say that. He'd shunned that. But there was a blessing to be had. Now, here's the point that I'm going to get to before I finish these last couple of paragraphs I got in my notes. This world sees that evidently there's something of importance in this thing of God's blessing. There's something of importance in salvation. That, you know, this thing of being saved, they see that they got a Bible, they can read it, and there's something that speaks of grace and salvation and hell and heaven and reprobates and the elect, and there's something of importance here. There's something. And evidently, whatever it is, it has something to do with something that men do. That's the mindset of this world. There's something, there's a blessing here, but there's something going on. He saw that Jacob obeyed, and he left. He saw that the daughters of Canaan didn't please his father. So he deducted, I know what I'll do. I'll go over to the family of Ishmael, one that was rejected of God. And I'll get a wife from that group. That'll please my daddy. That'll give me a fair sight, a fair showing in my dad's eyes and mother's eyes. God's glory wasn't the issue. Evidently, to Esau, the whole foundation of the blessing must have been wrapped up in who he married. He didn't perceive the obedience of God to be the issue. He merely saw that the daughters of Canaan didn't please his father, which could easily be fixed. I'll just go over to Ishmael's family and I'll get me a wife there. Now, this is the mindset of man by nature. It's not necessarily, you know, what you do, but it's your sincerity. If you're wanting to do the right thing, if this religion is not right, then go to this religion. We're all working for the same thing. Esau failed to see what all men, apart from the illumination of God's grace, they failed to see this. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. Esau thought as all men born in Adam think. Esau thought that all he had to do to please his father, Esau thought he could please Isaac, and all men and all women by nature think that they can please God and receive a blessing and make amends by just reforming their ways. That's all I got to do. My daddy don't like the women from Canaan. I'll just go to Ishmael's house and I'll get me a wife over there. And this depicts the hypocrites in this life. This is the mindset of the carnal heart. I'll close with this. Turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. No place was it written that Esau came to his dad and said, I've sinned against God. As that prodigal did, I've sinned against heaven. I've done it in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. He didn't do that. No, he just thought, I'll just reform. I'll just reform. That's all I got to do. He just don't like the women from here. I'll pick this one. He just don't like this religion. I'll go to get this religion. I'll join with this group. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Lord moved Isaac to tell Jacob, God has blessed you. The Lord's going to multiply you. God's going to bring his people from your loins. Is going to come a people that is a spiritual people. Jews and Gentiles, God's going to save them. God's going to bring them to himself. God has an inheritance for you. The Lord's going to bless you with the land that right now, you're a sojourner. You're sojourning here. You're a pilgrim here. But that's not the way it's going to be. The Lord's going to give you an inheritance. And Esau saw that. Thought, all I've got to do is just mend my ways, turn over a new leaf, clean up my act, you know, straighten up and fly right, and God will be pleased. God Almighty must deliver men and women from themselves, from themselves. May the Lord have mercy upon us for Christ's glory in our country.